All right, 1 Samuel chapter 28. One of the things that we see in this particular passage is the fact that something's gone wrong for Saul. Now, if you go back and you study, you'll find about chapter 8 and chapter 9 of 1 Samuel, you'll see where Samuel calls, God picks Saul and has Samuel anoint Saul to be the king. And then Saul does pretty good there for a while. But then in chapter 13, he messes up and he gets in a hurry. And Samuel's not coming quick enough, and he's got to offer a sacrifice so they can win the battle. And so what does he do? Instead of waiting on Samuel to offer the sacrifice the way God demands it, Saul offers a sacrifice. Strike number one. And God said, in fact, if you go there, you'll see where Samuel shows up about the time Saul's finished up and offered the sacrifice. And he said, "What hast thou done? What have you done, boy?" Well, I've heard that a few times. And it's never a good thing, amen. But what happened was, he got in a hurry. He thought the sacrifice was all about, they were going to have the sacrifice to win. You know what counts? You know what the real dependency is on whether we win or not? It's not the sacrifice, it's God. He's got the power. Well, in chapter 13, he struck out. Chapter 15, he struck out again. God told him to wipe out the Amalekites. And he does for some of it. He obeys some of it. By the way, that's a good lesson for us. You know, partial obedience is still disobedience. Okay? Peter, when Jesus told him to throw out the nets, plural, and Peter threw out the net, singular, and almost sunk the boat. Jesus knew what they needed. That was disobedience, because he only threw out one net. He didn't want to have to wash the other net or the other nets. But the truth is, so Saul messed up the second time and he didn't wipe out the Amalekites. And so God said, because that, and Samuel came up and said, he said, "Look at this, I've done what the Lord wanted me to do." And Samuel says, "What is this bleeding in my ear? I'm hearing these sheep. Where did they come from?" Oh, those were some of the Amalekite sheep. "I thought God told you to wipe them all out." And in that particular passage, and I want you to remember this verse if you don't remember anything else, 1 Samuel 15:23 tells us that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Think about that. If God tells us to do something, we say no. We're not worshiping God anymore. We're worshiping the devil. That's what witchcraft is. That's what's going on in our world tonight. There's a lot of witchcraft going on. A lot of people skipping church. A lot of churches may have even closed their doors for Halloween. Now, I can tell you right up front, we've closed the doors here for one thing. Her name was Irma. Okay, that's the only time we're going to close doors, is when it's unsafe for people to be on the roads. Okay, but you can count on it. Christmas Day, New Year's Day, it don't matter. We're going to have services Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. If I wasn't able to make it tonight without Brother Matthew being here, I'd be calling a preacher and have him be here. We'd have services. If nothing else, we'll get you guys to show up and pray. Amen. Make sure we're here on Sunday, if nothing else. But Saul, what he did, he messed up. God didn't give him a third strike. He gave him two strikes. He said, "Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you as king." And so from that moment on, that's in chapter 15, and I'm just giving you a lowdown to get to where we are. Chapter 16, Samuel's called to anoint David. At the end of chapter 16, you'll see where David is called, now that he's been anointed by Saul, because Saul has an evil spirit from the Lord that's troubling him. And the only thing that cures that evil spirit from the Lord that's troubling Saul is a little boy named David and his harp. By the way, David's not singing. It doesn't say singing's run that spirit out. It's the fact that it's the music. By the way, I can say this, I think. Y'all won't get upset. I don't think anybody here is caught up in rap, but that's not music. Okay? That's poetry. That goes back to the old 60s coffee shop stuff. They'd strum and say a phrase, and strum and say a phrase. It's just a different type of poetry, but that ain't music. I'm sorry. Music is with an instrument to start with. It's got to have a tune. But anyway, I'll get off that. But the truth is, Saul had a problem because he had that evil spirit. But the biggest problem he had was the fact that the Lord stopped communicating with him. Which brings us to where we are here. Let's stand in honor of the Word of God. Starting with verse 1, we'll read a few verses here. I'm not going to read the whole chapter. It's quite interesting, but starting with verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass in those days that the Philistines gathered their armies together for warfare to fight with Israel. And Achish said unto David, Know thou assuredly that thou shalt go out with me to battle, thou and thy men. And David said to Achish, Surely thou shalt know what thy servant can do. And Achish said to David, Therefore will I make thee keeper of mine head forever. Now Samuel was dead, and all Israel had lamented him, and buried him in Ramah, even in his own city. And Saul had put away those that had familiar spirits." Keep that phrase in mind, familiar spirits. "And the wizards out of the land. And the Philistines gathered themselves together and came and pitched in Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel together, and they pitched in Gilboa. And when Saul saw the host of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart greatly trembled. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor Urim, nor by the prophets." Then it says, "Then Saul said unto his servant, Seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said unto him, Behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit in Endor." They knew where to go, didn't they? You reckon they've already been there? Let's skip on down. Verse 10, "Then Saul swore by her," he's talking to the woman, the witch, this is a witch, by the way, and says, and Saul swore by her, by the Lord, saying, As the Lord liveth, there shall no punishment happen to thee for this thing. Then said the woman, Whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, Bring me up Samuel. And when the woman saw Samuel, she cried with a loud voice, and the woman spake to Saul, saying, Why hast thou deceived me? For thou art Saul." Let's stop there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your many blessings. And Lord, I thank you for this event that took place in Israel and in the life of Saul. And Lord, we just ask you to show us some special things about this event that we can use and we can see in this world. Lord, this world's caught up in so much demonology and witchcraft and evilness and psychics and all that kind of garbage. And Lord, we just thank you that we know the true God. And Lord, we know that all these things are controlled. They can't go any farther than what you allow them to go. Lord, speak to us tonight. Let us hear from your word and from your spirit, and keep the preacher out of your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. What's taking place is Saul is going in and he's having a seance. He has this seance with this woman and he's going in and telling her, this is what I want to happen. There are a lot of people that do not understand what's going on. By the way, I mentioned to you familiar spirits. They're called familiar spirits because whoever you want to come up in the seance, they're going to look like them. They're going to appear and even sound. They're even going to know some of the things that you've mentioned or you know about that person because they've heard you talk about it. I forget how I got the contact, but I think it was a family member that asked me to go see this man, and he was sick, and it wasn't, probably 25, 30 years ago. Anyway, I went to the house and didn't get a chance to talk to the man because he was in bed asleep and his daughter wouldn't wake him, but she wanted to talk to me. And she said, well, he had he was looking in the mirror one day and a face was staring back at him, and it wasn't his face. And he said that person in the mirror told him that he had been, in a previous life, he had been a soldier, a Confederate soldier at the Battle of Shiloh, and he was killed there. And said some special things about that particular Battle of Shiloh. And she said, what do you think about that? I said, no big deal. That was a demon. And she said, why do you say that? I said, number one, anywhere there's a lot of killing going on, there's demons. And a battlefield is where the demons love to be. Number two, they knew what happened. They don't die. They knew what happened at the battle. And if they didn't, if they weren't there, they could read about it or talk to the other demons that were there. She didn't like me much. And I said, the Bible clearly says it is appointed after man wants to die, and that after that the judgment. Is it appointed unto man wants to die, and after that the judgment? And so I said, he has not had a previous life. Reincarnation is just a devil's trick. That's all it is. Well, what Saul's doing right here, he's doing a similar thing. He's trying to call up Samuel. Why is he trying to call up Samuel? Because God won't talk to him. And he's trying to find out what's going on. And this witch, she knows what she does because she has a familiar spirit. She has a demon. She has what they call, a special spirit of some sort. But they have different names for them. But the bottom line is, this is nothing more than a devil or an evil spirit. But what happens is God throws a monkey wrench in her plans. Because what happens is, look at what it says. He told her in verse 11, I want you to call me up Samuel. And when the woman saw who? Samuel. It scared the stew out of her. Why? Because she said, I don't know this one. This is not my evil spirit that showed up. See, what God did, he moved in a special way. He was trying to he told Samuel, he said, you're going to have to go back, boy. Oh, Lord, come on now. Don't let me do that. Why I got to go back? Saul's calling for you. That scoundrel. I can hear it now just about, you know. But look what it says. Verse 13. And it says, And the king said unto her, Be not afraid for what thou sawest, or for what sawest thou? And the woman said unto Saul, I saw gods ascending out of the earth. And he said unto her, what form is he of? And she said, the old man cometh up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed himself. And this is priceless here. And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? What are you bothering me for, boy? Hey, he got upset. Rightly so. He was with Jesus. And he's calling him back. And the Lord said, I want you to do this. Lord, I'll do it for you, but I ain't doing it for Saul. That's kind of the way I get the feeling of this going on. But look at what it says. Why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me and answereth me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore have I called thee that thou mayest make known unto me what I shall do. Now, there's so much wrong with this conversation. It's hard to put it all into it. I mean, we could go on for another hour. But the truth is, if you have a problem communicating with God, there's something wrong, get it right. That's all Saul had to do, is get right with God. But no, he's going to find another avenue. But I think it's cool that God went ahead and blew the mind of the witch and sent Samuel up to start with. Because this is Samuel. I've read in commentaries and said it was a demon that looked like Samuel. No, my Bible says Samuel. It was him. Okay? No ifs, ands, or buts. If you believe the Bible, and I do, and you believe God's in charge, and I do, why can't it be Samuel when God says it's Samuel? There's a lot of people that say it's not. If somebody looked like Samuel, it's a demon that acted like Samuel, no, this was Samuel. And you'll see why in a minute. Now I want you to remember, what kind of king was Saul? He was good to start with, but he was a wicked, wicked king. After David killed Goliath, the monster jealousy got hold of him, and he was just as jealous as could be towards David. Remember, the women were singing, Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. So they're saying basically that Saul was about a tenth of the man David was. But let's read on, because there's something else I want to bring out. And it says, verse 16, it says, then said Samuel, wherefore then dost thou ask of me, seeing the Lord is departed from thee and is become thine enemy? And the Lord hath done to him as he spake by me. For the Lord hath rent the kingdom out of thine hand and given it to thy neighbor, even to David, because thou obeyedst not the voice of the Lord, nor executest his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore hath the Lord done this thing unto thee. The Lord always has a reason for what he does. When he punishes us, he always has a good reason. Sometimes we don't want to admit it. But look at what else it says. Moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with thee into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow shalt thou and thy sons be with me. The Lord also shall deliver the host of Israel into the hands of the Philistines. Tomorrow thou and thy sons be with me. Think about that. A lot of people say, well, Saul was a lost man. Well, was Samuel? Samuel was saved. Samuel was a good man. Samuel had a testimony probably as good, if not better, than Moses in a lot of ways.
And yet, he said, you're going to die, your sons are going to die, the host of the Philistines are going to be taken, or they're going to beat Israel and conquer Israel, and said, you and your sons are going to be with me by this time tomorrow. Everybody here believes in eternal security, right? Once Saul got saved, as bad as he was hating and trying to kill David and the wickedness, even going to the witch, where's he going to be? He's going to be with Samuel. Even though all the things he did give us an indication that he might not have been saved. My Bible tells me he was saved because he's going to be in the same place Samuel was. Well, and where is that, preacher? Well, I'm not going to get into that because that's another can of worms. We'll open it another night. But it's the holding place. It was actually what Lazarus went to, Lazarus and the rich man. Is called, at that time, it was called Abraham's bosom or paradise. Because they could not, those that died that were saved could not go to heaven until Jesus died on the cross and presented the blood on the mercy seat. And then what happened? Jesus ascended up into the cloud. You reckon that was a cloud of witnesses? Amen. But I want you to understand witchcraft. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 22, thou shalt not suffer a witch to live. Now that was the rule in Israel. How do we deal with it? I don't want the witch to live in witchcraft. I want to get her saved or him saved. You know, there are male witches. What's wrong with them? They just need Jesus. I remember a story about a man. His name was William Schnobelum. And what took place in him, he went to the bank one day, and he had a check, and he was depositing the check, and it had some satanic symbols on there or something, and the bank teller was saved. And they got into a little bit of a conversation. And the bank teller told him, I'm going to pray for you in Jesus' name. And he said, from that moment on, my world just came apart. Everything I had put together in witchcraft, everything that I had been in, it just fell apart. And eventually Jesus saved me. Witchcraft is just another deception. It's the ultimate deception because it's Satan getting people to worship him and knowingly worship him. But I want you to realize that this event, as many times as people try to twist it and turn it, it is exactly what it says it is. It was actually in a seance. It was actually, they were wanting to call up the familiar spirit that the witch had, and God sent Samuel instead. And then Saul found out what was going to happen to him and his sons. How does that work, preacher? Well, I'm glad I've got a Bible because I know what's going to happen to me. I don't know when, but I know that one day, whether it's by the undertaker or the uppertaker, I'm going to heaven. Saul didn't know. Can you imagine? I want you to think about it. What happens if you come to church and the message doesn't stir you? What happens if you can't get hold of God? What happens if there's nothing going on? That's what Samuel was doing. Saul was doing. There was nobody he could counsel with.
I've got Christian friends that I can talk to. I can get good counsel from people. Saul didn't have that. He had surrounded himself with scoundrels. And he had to go to a witch to try to find out from Samuel what was going to happen. And then, when he found out, he didn't want to know it. It's crazy how this world is running towards witchcraft and demonology. And knowing full well, it's going to self-destruct. Like we preached last week, it's all because of the blood. We've got the victory in the blood. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. That's where the victory is. That's where Saul should have gone. Not look for a witch. And he went against his own policy, by the way. He had run them all out and then had to backtrack. But the most important thing is we realize that there are real witches. Satan has a certain amount of power. I'm going to go ahead and say it. I believe that a lot of these magicians that you see on TV are nothing more than witches or warlocks. And the reason they can do levitation and they can take the hoop through and things like that, when there's show you there's no wires, because you can't see those demons picking them people up. You say, well, preacher, that's strange. Hey, what happened in Egypt? How did they put those pyramids together? You really think that those huge, huge stones were lifted by people? I don't. I believe that those sorcerers that were able to throw their rods down just like Moses did and turn it into a snake, I believe they had satanic powers and they were able to levitate those rocks. I'm not saying that, I'm not going to say that that's absolutely true, but that's what I believe. I believe that's plausible because we know that those sorcerers in Egypt had a certain amount of power. And there's a reason they don't even have a crane now that can dismantle those things. Satan's got power, but my Jesus has all power. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. And that's where we need to go for power. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. Lord, we come before you thanking you for being so good to us. Lord, we ask you to move in a special way. We pray for you to protect the children. We pray for Christians to pass out tracts. We pray for you to move in a special way in the lives of these children and to protect them and draw them to Jesus and keep them away from Satan and his witchcraft and the demonology and all the evil that's out there. Lord, we ask you to move in our invitation. Watch over those that aren't here. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.